And now we take a look once again at the past week's events here in the Vatican. Our resident Vatican expert, Joan Lewis, sat down with me to review some of the highlights of the past days.
Well, it seems like at the beginning of the week, we usually begin, Joan knows, from Sunday on. But something that happened Sunday that the Pope said is kind of relative to actually something that happened on Friday. And that, of course, was the kidnapping of Archbishop Paulos Faraj Raho of Mosul, of the Chaldeans in Iraq. He is still in the hands of the kidnappers who, it appears, do want a ransom for his release. We don't know why on earth he was even kidnapped in the first place. That has not been made known by the kidnappers. But the Pope obviously was informed immediately of the kidnapping of the Archbishop. And seems that the Archbishop had just completed the Way of the Cross in his church. This is something, of course, a very dear rite in Lent to the faithful of Iraq. So the Vatican, in a communique, suggested that, of course, this was a premeditated act. The Pope said he was very saddened by this deplorable act, which is a powerful blow to the church in the country, and especially the Chaldean church. And the Pope said he was close to Cardinal Deli, Patriarch of Babylon, and to the entire very much tried Christian community. And so this fact, this news that dominated the weekend, also dominated the Sunday Angelus.
Indeed, because that's what he appealed for his release, didn't he? And also the situation in Gaza.
Yes, the Sunday Angelus was just filled with appeals, really. And the Holy Father, again, spoke of the kidnapping, for anybody who may not have heard of it, and he joined the Cardinal's appeal that the Archbishop, who they mentioned is in delicate health, they appealed for his immediate release. And the Pope did encourage the Iraqi pastors and faithful to remain strong and firm in hope at such a moment. And he said he hoped that those who control the destiny of the beloved people of Iraq may increase their efforts to ensure that Iraqis will obviously rediscover peace and security and not be denied the future to which they have the right. And then the Pope went on in another appeal, same area of the world, if you will, basically, but he spoke of the Holy Land. And he said noted how the tensions, which we've all heard on the news, had grown between Israel and the Gaza Strip. They've reached very serious levels, he said. And he renewed his appeal to the authorities, both Israeli and Palestinian, to stop this spiral of violence unilaterally and unconditionally. And he said only by showing respect, of course, for human life, even that of the enemy, important words there, can we hope to give a future of peace and coexistence to the young generations of those peoples who both have their roots in the Holy Land. And then in kind of a third appeal at the Sunday Angelus, the Pope spoke of a childhood. Now, why did he do that? Because just before, a short period actually before the Sunday Angelus, there was the discovery of the bodies of two young Italian brothers who had disappeared from their home more than a year ago. Those bodies were found, and the Pope said this was a very sad end that affected me very deeply, as it did many people's. And he said, I want to make an appeal in support of childhood. Let's look after our little ones. We must love them and help them grow. And he said, in this appeal, his thoughts particularly went to all children throughout the world, but to the most defenseless, exploited, and abused.
And he, of course, quoted those very famous and touching words of Jesus, didn't he, about children?
Let the little children come unto me, indeed. So Sunday, there was a packed Angelus greetings and reflections and so forth, if you will.
And then that we come to the beginning of the week, and for 2 days there was this meeting, very much...
fascinating meeting in the Vatican, indeed. Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Wednesday there was a communique from the meeting. It was Catholic Muslims. And basically, we go back to a letter last fall signed by 138 Muslim religious leaders and scholars to Christian religious leaders, one of whom naturally was the Pope. And Pope Benedict responded to this letter in November, suggesting that there be a meeting, and also the meeting that was held in the Vatican now is not that meeting. It's the meeting to lay the groundwork for a future meeting, which we've discovered in the Wednesday communique will be held in November. And so it's basically the Pope answering their appeal, and yes, we want to meet, we want to get together.
And there's going to be, I understand, 24 representatives from each side.
Exactly, 24 from the Catholic side. In the meeting this week, it was 5 representatives from the Catholic side and 5 from the Muslim side laying the groundwork for this meeting. And actually what they did in their Wednesday communique, they announced, these 10 who met, announced the formation of the Catholic-Muslim Forum. And it's that forum that will hold its first seminar in Rome, November 4 to 6 of this year. And as you said, 24 religious leaders from each side, they will meet on the theme, love of God, love of neighbor. And then the Pope will be receiving, of course, all the participants. And this, again, was the result of this letter last fall, the open letter called A Common Word from these Muslim scholars to religious leaders. So it's representing the Vatican, of course, we had in the March meeting, and obviously they'll be present in the November one, were Cardinal Jean-Louis Torrent, and he is the president of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, Archbishop Pier Luigi Celata, who is the secretary. And interestingly enough, what we shouldn't forget is that Archbishop Celata was in the 90s the nuncio to Turkey. And, of course, Turkey has played an important role, a predominantly Muslim country. The Pope met with Muslim leaders, had a wonderful, very positive trip there, actually, in November, December of 2006. So that's something we are going to keep our eyes on, reading this information about the formation of the Catholic-Muslim Forum will be indeed a very interesting thing, certainly
and
in the
without
fall.
Precedent. I mean, a landmark. Oh. It's definitely the international press
Absolutely.
Has been very interested in
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Catholics and Muslims have met in the past. I was present at one of those meetings in Doha, Qatar, several years ago with Archbishop Fitzgerald, who's now, of course, in Cairo as our nuncio and working very closely with the Arab League. So, but it will be the first meeting of this kind, certainly with the Holy Father involved and present and so forth. So that was Tuesday and Wednesday, the communique.
Before we leave Wednesday, though, let's look a bit at the Pope's general audience, because he started a new series of catechesis on a new early father of the church, didn't he?
He did. He spoke about Leo the Great. And what's interesting, I did a little research on this. Benedict called Leo one of the most influential popes in history. And it's very interesting because many people have since his death referred to John Paul II as John Paul the Great. But there's really only two popes that have been, should we say, officially recognized as great. And that's St. Leo and Pope St. Gregory, who reigned from 590 to 604. Pope Leo, of course, became pope in 440, which Benedict pointed out at the audience. Now, what was very interesting, the Pope spoke of the primacy of Peter in this particular audience, and there's a number of reasons why this is significant. But he did note that Pope Leo promoted the primacy of the Bishop of Rome as the successor of the Apostle Peter, and he exercised his ministry, said Benedict, in the East and in the West with great prudence, pastoral sensitivity, and wisdom. And what's interesting, the primacy of Peter was recognized by both East and West in the first millennium of the Church before the split occurred, obviously, between them in 1054. And what Pope Benedict really wanted to emphasized on Wednesday, was the fact that the Petrine ministry, Petrine referring to St. Peter, the Roman primacy is necessary today as it was in the past, meaning the first millennium. It is at the service of truth and charity and serves communion in the one Church of Christ. Now, why is this? It's always an important discussion or talk when it involves the papal primacy,
but
the Roman
primacy.
The timing in this case is particularly significant because the Wednesday audience came on the eve, actually hours before the arrival in Italy of the Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew I. And the Pope, of course, on their agenda for Thursday was a meeting. They prayed together in the Redemptoris Mater Chapel. And then Bartholomew went to the Pontifical Oriental Institute to help them celebrate their 90th anniversary. So a very important discussion. And what we shouldn't forget another important element in the timing of the Pope's words on the primacy, not just because of the visit of Bartholomew I, but months ago, in the fall, there was a meeting in Ravenna, with a Catholic Orthodox meeting in Ravenna, which did acknowledge the principle of the primacy of the Bishop of Rome. So how this primacy is to be exercised, practiced, carried out is still something for many, many future discussions between the Catholics and the Orthodox. Big meeting.
But still quite significant because it was one of the original causes of the split, the
Schism. And for almost 1,000 years has been a very tough point for both sides to consider and overcome. So, and then, it really has been a big week and
the meeting between the Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew and Pope Benedict too.
Lots of news will come from that for sure. And the interesting thing is too, we mustn't fail to remind the listeners that it was late November of 2006 that Benedict and Bartholomew met in Istanbul.
During his visit to Turkey.
The Vatican always sends a representation. That year it was Benedict the 16th. They send it to Istanbul, to former Constantinople, to celebrate the Feast of St. Andrew. That's the patron saint of the Patriarchate there. So that was the ostensible, of course, reason for this trip by the Pope to Turkey. But in the meantime, he did meet, and this goes back to the other news about the Muslims, he did meet with Muslim leaders. He went to the Blue Mosque where he prayed, facing Mecca, a very, very important moment for Muslims, and one which turned the tide a little bit, or maybe even a lot, in this supposed damage done between Catholic-Muslim relationships after Benedict's September 2006 speech in Regensburg, where remarks that he made were considered offensive by the Muslims. So he took a huge step in making relations more positive when he met with the Muslims in Istanbul, prayed in their church, and I think probably another big step certainly will be taken next November. So it's been a week of important news developments and developments that we're going to be watching, and in non-papal news, but another big story this weekend, of course, was the Secretary of State Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, his trip to Armenia and Azerbaijan.
Which he delayed for a few days, didn't he, because of the unrest there?
At first he was going to go, and they laid out the schedule as soon as he got back from Cuba. And then they were forced to say, because of problems and unrest in Armenia, in the capital, he will not be going. And then all of a sudden we got notice that, bingo, he was on the plane and on his way to Yerevan. An abbreviated visit to Armenia, and then his full visit to Azerbaijan is taking place, and that's until the 9th. Important events for the development of relations with Orthodox, relations with Muslims.
That was our regular Vatican expert, Joan Lewis.